Now then, boys, welcome to episode 24.
Yep.
Episode 24 of Sitting on the Fence. Connor, mate, how was your weekend been? Been all right?
Not so bad, yeah. A few winners, yeah. Not too many, but enough to tide you over.
Mm.
A lot of news coming out in the last week as well, which has been a bit different to usual.
Yeah, so. Yeah, we've got quite a few things to talk about. We'll get the bad stuff or the sad stuff out of the way first, I guess. So one thing I forgot to say before the start of the podcast, normally you have like an itinerary of what we're going to write about. We've just lost Highfield Princess, haven't we?
Yeah.
So thoughts and connections goes out to Jason Art, obviously main jockey. Well, we know him, don't we?
Yeah.
I know of him. Met him a few times. He'll be devastated by that. Probably the horse that probably gave him his most success, to be fair.
Yeah, it's probably his best horse up to date. So.
Yeah. What horse he was? How many Group Ones is it?
Four
Group Ones. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not just in England.
I think she come start off a mark of 57, didn't she? So
come from humble beginnings.
Every owner's dream. I think she's homebred.
Yeah.
As well. So yeah, must be devastating for the owner.
Yeah, it's a very nice horse to follow that one. Obviously went to the Breeders' Cup recently. Fortunately, no success there. And went to Hong Kong as well.
France, been everywhere.
But yeah. So I know that one will hit home quite hard. Like I said, thoughts and prayers goes out to Jason Art and the crew. It's not nice seeing a horse go like that, especially so suddenly as well.
Yeah, it just happened in a box, didn't it? There's been an accident.
Yeah, the fracture, I think.
The full details, but there's been an accident in a box.
Mm.
In a stable, which unfortunately can happen sometimes.
Yeah.
They're animals that, to fair, when they think they're going to be okay, sometimes they're not. So you've got to watch them all the time and stuff, you know. Mm. That's why when the last Grand National was run, there's all the top pundits and horse people and everything were saying there's more chance of them injuring himself in the field than there is on the race course.
Yeah, there is, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, it's always always room for injuries and stuff like that anywhere you go. But yeah, that one surprised me when I woke up on Sunday. It was quite devastating, to be honest. We'll go on to the next bit of news, which is awful news considering Jack Kennedy and Sam Ewing. Now, I think they were out in Kildare, in Ireland. Some of the reports coming out, I mean, brutally attacked because of their performances at Cheltenham. I mean, we want to paint the sport in the best picture possible. This is what the podcast is about. We're tipping winners and trying to have fun going to the racing. But we have to point out the negative side as well, because it wouldn't be fair if we just posted the positives. But it's such an awful look on the sport. I mean, you say something similar has happened in the past quite a few times, and there's absolutely no place for abuse. I mean, we all have a laugh and stuff in saying, that jockey's shit, whatever. Like, if we get a loser, that's where the line's drawn. Anything towards personal abuse, towards family, themselves, children, and then even below the belt is physical abuse. It's just, it shouldn't be tolerated, and hopefully these thugs that have done it get found out.
Yeah, obviously people can't hack losing the money and other putting too much on it. It's no excuse, really. I mean, I've come across a couple of people who I'm not the biggest fan of, but that's like where it stops. Do you know what I mean? I don't go around.
Yeah.
Even really tell them, to be honest.
No, exactly.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah, in the day that everyone else got their own opinion, aren't they? And I'm sure, for like any walk of life, a lot of people weren't like me, you know, in regular life. So you don't go around getting this hit or whatever, do you? So,
you're getting a smack now.
But at the end of the day, the jockeys, unlike any major, I mean, it's like the second biggest sport in the country, but the jockeys are like normal people more than the sportsmen, I feel. Like, they're just regular people, and
we've spoken to many. Obviously, with your horse, they've just been so approachable.
I'm on about even like further down the chain, that the ones that are just riding at every, I don't know, let's say Northern meet.
Yeah,
I can't think of a name on top of my head now. I know
you probably got a Brian Hughes.
Yeah, but I'm like even
lower than that.
They're just like normal people, and sometimes, I mean, yeah, they're athletes, so they're not all the time. But sometimes they want to go out for, I don't know, a bit of food or a pint or I don't know, whatever, and you will see them like about if you live in an area that they live in.
Yeah.
You know, in Ireland, that places like Kildare or wherever, that they're probably seeing regularly.
Mm.
You know, around the yards where they're based.
They're all for the crack, aren't they?
Do you know, so I just feel like for jockeys, like a football, they're like kind of seen but never heard. Like you never
kind see of like wrapped in cotton wool.
You never see any pictures of any footballers anywhere, do you? Really?
Not really? No.
Unless they're in the car or something like that. So yeah, it's one of them. I mean, they're just regular people, and a lot of them like in a regular wage. I mean, we see them on the race course, and sometimes you think, well, I'll never see him. Like, do you know what I mean? You think like they're just like this,
just kind of pop out of nowhere,
different being that just so high up, but in reality, they're not like mega wealthy, and they're not. They're probably still doing the shopping in Tesco like everyone else. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So there should be a lot.
We know jockeys like that.
I mean, a majority of them will be happy if you go up and be like, take a photo or whatever you want to do. But it's sometimes hard to remember that they're just regular people.
Yeah, like, I mean,
they do the same things we do every day, apart from obviously going on the race course.
The beauty of racing is that I find that these trainers, owners, and jockeys are so approachable. I mean, you've spoken to a few jockeys online, you've spoken to a few jockeys in person. I mean, Oisin Murphy's got popped up on one of yours or something like that. I mean, he's at the top of the game. He's at the top of the flat racing game, and he's up for a laugh always, which is always what you want to see. But I mean, you're going out for some food. The last thing you want is to be brutally attacked and having to escape the scene. It's just disgusting. It really is. And obviously I've never spoken to Jack Kennedy or Sammy, but they look like nice lads. And yeah, Kennedy got a few winners. Don't get me wrong. He didn't have a great Cheltenham. He didn't have a bad Cheltenham. But that's got all going to be put to the side when you're getting attacked. It's just it's not what you want.
We've all been on the side of a bad loser when
we never just get
over it. Don't you? Like, everyone has their own.
You laugh about it because we don't put that much money on.
Everyone has a favourite jockey. Everyone has ones they're not too keen on. That's which where it ends for most people, isn't it?
Yeah.
But like I say, these people, they're just normal people living. And say a lot of them aren't even earning loads of money, so you will see them out and about. Obviously, you hear about all the stories about trainers that aren't at the very, very top of the pyramid, and they're out in the local pubs after having a big win, and rightly so, but, you know.
I mean, Shark Hamlin's perfect.
If I lived in an area where known for having a big yard, and I see them down the local, you'll probably go up and be like, wow, I never thought I'd see so-and-so here, and try and get a picture maybe.
And they're so approachable.
And just lead them to enjoy what they're doing, but I don't understand it really at all. It's not on either.
No, it isn't, no. No, they're all so approachable, they're all lovely. Apart from Tom Marquand, refused me a picture with Donnie, but I'm only joking, but it's when it comes to stuff like that, it's just disgusting, and we hope these criminals get found out.
They give everything as well for what they're doing. I mean, obviously they love what they're doing.
Yeah.
There's no disputing that, but they're giving everything for it as well. They give their entire life.
You've got to being a jockey.
Even a diet, they can't eat, they can't drink. So they give everything, really.
Mm.
All the hours they're putting on the road, everything. And yeah, that goes unnoticed as well sometimes.
Yeah, it does, which is really disappointing. And going on to, again, jockey news, it's come to light. I've seen this morning, actually. Jason Hart actually reposted Kieran O'Neill's tweet from, I think it might have been either this morning or yesterday. He's failed a drugs test, and he's come out quite openly on Twitter. I don't know if you've seen it, Connor, but he's come out on Twitter very openly saying, I've never touched a drug in my life. Everyone that's close to me knows that this needs to get sorted out. If it was a jockey that was, let's say, coming up like a claimer, it probably could ruin their career. And you were telling me, Connor, about Sean Levy being in this sort of situation about 3 years ago.
A couple of years ago, he failed the drug test and obviously instantly disputed it.
Mm.
And at the time, people like normal people, you don't know what to think because you don't know what goes on behind the scenes. And if you see a failed drug test, you assume that's a failed drug test.
Yeah.
But he disputed it. I can't remember. It's somewhere between 2 weeks and a month. It took him, but it finally come out that he was actually clean, and he'd lost a month's earnings. And to be fair, at the time, good on him, because he said, look, this isn't right. I've lost a few weeks' wages. I've not done anything. I'm losing my connections to trainers and stuff. And thankfully, my name's been cleared, but what if I hadn't?
Yeah, exactly.
And I've lost my whole career.
Yeah, and if they're proven guilty, then they should have the book thrown at them. But in cases like these, when they know for a fact they've not touched a single drug in their life, and I think Holly Dole got done for it, but she something similar came up about that.
She had a pain relief in America and got told that it was fine, and then come over here and it was banned in our jurisdiction. Yeah. So, everyone can say, like, oh, she should have really taken more care. And yeah, she probably could have chewed on in that situation. I mean,
I think she knows that as well.
She's at the top of the pyramid. Like, she gets all loads of big rides. She's riding all the time.
Yeah, she's had a winner today.
She should have known better.
Yeah.
But mistakes she won't make again, I'm sure.
She should have known better, but it was, again, a little bit unfair. Not unfair, but it's just, like, unfortunate.
Yeah, it's not unfair because the rules are the rules.
The rules are the rules, yeah, correct.
And
I think unfortunate was more where I was.
She's riding at the top of the pyramid.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's one of them, like, and I know it's for a fact that they've got all the equipment in the house, like hot tubs and saunas and stuff like that. So they're at the top of the... They don't have to go and, like, they have a standard, as I say standard, an average jockey who has to go and... It's like a sauna and hotel or whatever. They've got it all there for them. Yeah,
especially the ones at the top of the chain.
They're at the top of their game, Holly and Tom, and they're both great riders, but she should have really...
care.
And what a role model she is to women, by the way. Trying to be in racing, she should have really... It's easy to say in hindsight. I'm probably sure she'd say the same. But, with her...
Yeah.
She'll not do it again anyway, that's for certain.
No, that's 100%, yeah. I mean, you got to look at Holly Doyle, Rachel Blackmore. Even looking back at Katie Walsh, she was probably one of the first female riders to... she was very unlucky not to win a Grand National, actually. Under Manila times, Rachel Blackmore did get that national win. They've done so much for the sport, and I know for a fact that them two, I mean, obviously Blackmore's not been, not done anything wrong. Neither say Holly Doyle has either, but it's just a little bit of due care.
It's one of them, especially for the
diligence.
Unfortunately for the women, because it's like not so many of them, they are like on the added pressure of trying to be role models.
Mm. And they've done an excellent job.
That's not what they haven't asked for that. It's just part of it that there happen to be females in the game. So.
And they've done such an amazing job of getting more females into the sport, which is what we want.
And Holly Doyle's that. She's a great rider, really.
Yeah, she's definitely, I think, top one of, for me, up there with top five best jockeys at the minute.
And she's tracked like it as well. You know, yeah. She gets all the rides. It's not as if she's not getting the rides she deserves. She is. So yeah,
got a few great ones under her belt now, and she won. And she won a. She was the first female to win at every single race course, I believe.
Oh yeah,
in the UK.
I think to get back to the point, the system for drug testing is bad, and that will lead on to another point. I don't think you will have heard about this. Dr. Richard Newland, you'll know about him, trainer. He does has a lot of runners up north. Doesn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
He wrote a piece for Racing TV a couple of days ago, and I perfectly told you about it to get your initial thoughts. They sort of asked him about the National Hunt game, and he'd come out and said, well, the Irish are dominating, I think we should do something about it, and here's his sort of suggestions off the top of my head. Get the IHRB, so the
Irish,
basically our BHA, but in over there, to pay our BHA £10 million per year towards prize money. Banning Irish runners apart from Cheltenham.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
Like I asked you, banning Irish runners until it comes to Cheltenham.
Right.
Getting Irish-based horses to pay more on declaration entries.
Right.
And all sorts of stuff like this. Really, saying that.
Wow, you kept that quiet.
We all wish we had a magic one like Willie Mullins. And the other one was, we need to have a major restructure because all the races over there are getting won by Mullins and Elliott, so now the trainers below them in Ireland are coming over here and taking all our big races.
Okay, I've got a few things to say on that. Yeah. You kept that really quiet, actually. I didn't see this, actually, in the racing TV. I'll go on to prize money in a bit, but I think the strongest opinion that I've got on this is banning all runners from Ireland coming to England. No.
Apart from Cheltenham,
no. No.
But it's wrong, yeah.
It's wrong. No, they have every right to come over here and... win. You know what I mean? I think our trainers just need to step up our game a little bit more.
Well, this is a lot of trainers have come out and said, no, that's not what we want to do. We want to get up to their level and figure out how to do it. Because, not being funny, but you find a lot of, not a lot, but a good proportion of Irish horses are owned by British people.
Yeah.
It's just that they're so far ahead.
Yeah.
That,
take them there. That, they know what they're doing.
You want a winner, that's the place you'll get one. Yeah. Especially if you've got the money to invest in a proper, you know.
I'm sorry, but if I had money, if I had a lot of money, and if I owned a racehorse in the national hunt scene, if it was flat, I'd probably take it to. We do go Gosden, you've got Haggis, you've got the. I think we're like the best. Obviously, you've got AP O'Brien in Ireland who dominates the flat scene there. But I think collectively, you've got Charlie Appleby, you've got Gosden, you've got Haggis in this country, just naming a few off the top of my head. We are better at flat racing than them. I know that's a lot to. I know that's probably putting them three against AP. I think we stand a better chance than them, which is probably quite a controversial opinion. But if I've got a horse and I've got a lot of money, taking it chasing, you're going to be taking it to the likes of Elliot Mullins. You even look at the Bromhead. You even look at Gavin Cromwell. Them four trainers alone, better than Nicky Henderson and better than Paul Nichols, I think. And there's a reason that we don't take horses over there, because we know for a fact that we get cleaned up. It happens every year at Cheltenham. But we just need to find a way to try and beat the likes of the Bromheads.
It's come under a lot of scrutiny, what he said, because it's such a defeatist attitude, isn't it?
Mm.
At one time, the British were running the game and the Irish were begging
for... Not even 30, 40 years ago.
Well, not even that. It's 15, 20 years ago. The Irish were begging for a winner at Cheltenham.
Yeah.
You know, and I've got enough... I think Ireland's fantastic. I love going. I love the people.
Yeah.
The racing's great. The thing is about their racing compared to ours is their calendar's set up, so the best have to meet the best.
Yeah. That's what we should do.
And their second string horses that they think can't win a group race over there, or a grade race,
yeah,
are just coming over here and sweeping the pile up. And
you even look at the Dublin Racing Festival, look at the first three winners, they weren't Mullins first.
Cromwell, I think mainly, to be honest, he's bringing them over here and drawing the season and sweeping up our big races, but that's not his problem.
Doing it for experience for the horses.
Yeah. And like I say, the Irish got nothing to be envious of our country apart from our prize money. And
that's their prize money is an absolute joke.
And our heritage. That's all. I mean, say our heritage. It's always like, sorry, the Irish Guinness, the Irish Arkle. They've got our, you know, a version of our race.
Champion hurdle.
That's all they've got to be envious about, but nothing else.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. It's not really a big, you know. And I just think a lot of what he's saying there, our trainers do need to step up, but it's not for a lack of trying. Do you know what I mean? Some of them are, I mean, a lot of them say, oh, we're, you know, working night and day, some of them think that, then some of us, they must be working 24 hours a day now and then.
I've just got one sentence.
Because the crop is all the same. There's still... When the two-year-olds are born, they're not owned by anyone.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? The crop's there. They're there to be bought. So what's happening different? Do you know what I mean?
I've only got one sentence to say on that matter. Is don't get mad. Get competitive. We can't be... there's no God-given right to win races. The Irish are just better than us. As much as I wish it wasn't the case, but... The Irish have the nicest horses. They're the most smartest in the auctions. Paying for the horses anyways.
Yeah, but this is the point though. When they're at the auctions, they're no ones. So why they all went to Ireland? Do you know what I mean?
Because Mullins just has the right people in the right places.
This is what I'm saying though. It's not for a lack of trying. It's something else. Yeah. It's like...
It's deeper.
And somewhat... There is people out there, like Ben Pauling, he's doing a great job. He's at the start of his journey, granted. But you look at some of the horses he's got, and you think, for someone who's come out of nowhere, got a good, nice crop of horses there.
Yeah, he does, yeah.
You know,
and they're only going to get better because they're all progressive.
So, yeah, I just think, someone like Henderson, he's stuck in his ways. And
Stuck in the 80s.
Yeah.
I think Nichols too stubborn to go to Cheltenham. Henderson just don't want to run his horses. Obviously, with the whole thing coming about that there's something wrong in the stables at the minute, you can't really foresee any of that.
What do you make of that, by the way? Because... At Cheltenham, it seemed like the first day or 2 days, he was sort of like, we're testing them all, we're doing everything we can, we'll run what we can. And then it seemed like the last 2 days, he was just like,
not
running them.
I think he was just trying to cut his losses, to be honest. Like,
well, that's not really right, though, is it?
No, it isn't, no. But I can see it from his point of view that, yeah, the thing is with Henderson, he just wanted to preserve his best horses. That's why Constitutional didn't go, Sugino didn't go, The two that stand out to
Sergino,
me. Sergino,
I can understand a bit because he's got his full career ahead of him, and why risk it for one race when you've got like the next 5 years you can have with him?
Constitutional, 80% fit. I get why he doesn't want to run him 100% fit. Obviously, it come out of the fact that his mucus in his lungs and all that. But a 70% constitutional would have absolutely blitzed them lot in the champion hurdle. And what we were saying, Lossie Mouth would have been she'd have been a great entry, but it was either go there, risk losing to State Man, or just win the mares, because we knew for a fact she was going to win the mares by an absolute, and it was one of the most impressive performances of the week. But with Henderson, he just wants to preserve his best horses, and there is preserving, and then there's just not running them and just putting them on a pedestal, and I think that's what he's going to do to Constitutional.
I
can see him running at Aintree, but then again,
I thought he won't run at Aintree now.
God, no.
He'd be like, oh.
And there's talk about him running at Punchestown. He's already said,
oh, we'll prepare for Punchestown, but if not, it'll be the fighting. You think,
fighting fifth next year?
Yeah, you think, I think Constitution will be one of the most talented animals there could ever be, right? But we'll just not get to see it. We've seen it already, but we won't get to see it to its full effect.
He won't have the longevity of the likes of Ishtar Brack and Nightmares.
When the State Man and him both retire, I think you'll end up looking at State Man's CV and just going like, that's a better odds.
We know it's not, but
when you look at the CV,
the CV just...
You'll think that's just a better odds. And it's not that it's Constitutional's fault. I mean, if it's mine, I'd love running it. I'd be running him all the time. I'd be chucking the NASCAR Gold Cup, all sorts.
Yeah.
You would, wouldn't you? On the flat and everything.
Mm.
But so, the Ascot Gold Cup on...
It's just disappointing.
I'd be doing everything with him. Just what a horse to win.
But our trainers just need to step up a gear.
If you get beat, you get beat. But, what a horse. But, don't know, I just think that he's, one of the most supremely talented animals that could probably ever be. And we're just not going to get to see it.
No. Disappointing, isn't it? We try to make a pledge that to see Constitutional every time he ran. We won't be going racing if that's the case. But
it's just like, next year, you just know it'll be like, fighting fifth, Christmas hurdle, Cheltenham.
Done.
Then that'll be it. Because you probably got one of your punches down, so that'll be it.
I think you said about 2 months ago on the podcast, the last time we've seen him will be the last time we see him this season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It will be.
It will be, yeah.
If he goes to Punchestown, I'll be seriously shocked.
I will be shocked as well.
In fact, if he goes to Punchestown, I'll be near enough certain it'll be the owner insisting.
Yeah. Are they only taking him there himself?
Absolutely insisting that he goes.
Mm. Yeah.
I can't see Nicky taking him off his own back.
No. No, it'll be Richard Buckley telling him, look, he's running.
Yeah, Michael, yeah.
Yeah, Michael. Because we were talking about Richard Newlands, weren't we?
Yeah, just think, it'll just be him pushing it.
Mm.
So, he must go. But I can't see Nicky saying, let's go Punchestown.
Because when has he ever actually sent one to Ireland?
He has done a couple of times, but he's always regretted it. He openly said he regretted it. But he's got a horse there, same thing every year, fighting fifth, Christmas hurdle, champion. That shouldn't get boring because of how he does it, but I think he's going to get to the end of his career in 3 years' time, whatever it's going to be, and just think that could have been so much more.
Yeah.
Could have been so much more.
Yeah. And he'll end up with... He'll have the worry of State Man actually overtaking him over his CV.
But it will happen if he carries on the way it is. Because
State Man, I can see State Man, if, God forbid, Constitutional don't run the next two champion hurdles, State Man will win them.
Well,
you think?
Lossie Mouth or...
If Lossie Mouth goes in the champion hurdle, we'll see.
Ballyburn might step up, but that'll be for 1 year, so... Don't know, there's a lot can happen.
Interesting.
A lot can happen in 2 years in the national hunt scene, but, it's... It's just disappointing because I keep thinking that if he was mine, I'd just be doing everything. Pathway? It'll never have. You can never own one again like that.
No. That's a once in a lifetime horse.
You can never, ever own one like that again.
And we're lucky to have Frenkel and Constitutional in our lifetime.
I mean, Michael Buckley openly said, this is quite a while ago now, someone asked him, would you plan on getting any more horses? He said, well, what's the point? He said, I've had the one.
Yeah. He's owned a few before that.
Yeah, but you say, what would be the point of me owning another one? I've had the one. There's nothing above that.
Yeah. And it's a shame also that Constitutional's been gelded as well, so we won't be seeing any offspring from him, which is unfortunate. But yeah, it's just disappointing, and I don't see him actually running out Punchestown. despite what we'd love to see, but I don't think we will.
I'd love to see him, like, next year, just shake it up a bit, like, right, we know fighting fifth will be the starting point, and that's fair enough, it's a great start.
Yeah.
Right, I'd love to see him, like...
There's not many opportunities before that, is there?
I'd love to be like, oh, fighting fifth, not get that in, maybe say, oh, we'll miss the Christmas hurdle, and then we'll go to DRF, and then Cheltenham.
Yeah. That girl's excited.
Yeah.
But she can't see it. Under Nichols, you probably would... I think it'd been a different story, but... Yeah, it's... Yeah. There's not really much more I could say on that. Well, let's get into the tips. Let's get into... That was a good bit of news, actually. We've not had that much news for a long while, have we?
It's been a big week.
Yeah, it has been a big week, yeah. And obviously getting on that that tangent of Constitution Hill. I just wish I could see more of him. I wish, and I know you'd be the same as well. So... We're going into the first race then, which is the first race at Donny. 1 second, the Racing Post is taking the piss once more. Our tip was Holloway Boy, came fourth in the end. Was very keen at the start. It was pretty much... It was there. It was there at the front almost. It just tired out, and it's far too keen at the start. Winner goes to Sharon. Under Sylvester D'Souza. We're good to see him back, actually, because he's been in Hong Kong for a few years.
He had trouble there, didn't he?
Yeah.
Hong Kong, they're very, very touchy about who you talk to about horses. And if you give them like even a little bit of insight, they'll put you down for betting breach and all sorts. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
No wonder he's come back then.
Yeah, that's why. I mean, come summer, you can't tell one of your mates or whatever about a horse. But anyway.
Yeah, a lot of these horses was very keen, actually, well, setting off. But Charon, cool as you like, beating his rival in Knight, had an awful, awful race, I thought. Set off as favourite 2-1, and won like a favourite should at 3.5 lengths. Any more you want to say on that one?
No, he just enjoyed the ground. Next step up's got to be Graded Company, group company.
Yeah.
Group company.
Yeah, listed race, yeah.
Yeah, it's got to be group company next for him. How good he is, he's quite a tricky horse. He can be quite good on his day. Likes a bit of a cut in the ground, so you'd like to think they're probably... Apparently going to the lockinge, but I assume ground up and maybe key factor to that. I think there's a race at Sandown I'm thinking about going to before. So it depends on how wet we stay. But Holloway Boy, look at great, really nice horse to look at, but just think he could be one of them that has loads of ability, but because of his own temperament, never gets to show it.
Yeah, that's it. That's probably what puts down a lot of horses, just their own temperament, if they can be bothered, or too keen at the start. It's a down set of a lot of horses, but...
Big year for him, so... We'll see.
Yeah. It's only the start of the season, isn't it?
He's obviously got some quite a bit under the bonnet, like, but I don't know. It just strikes me as one that could just have loads of ability, but never be able to show it properly.
Could possibly, on the right ground, possibly a listed horse. Don't think group level. I think it's too good for just a class two. Far too good for a class two, but I think we might be seeing this one dip in and out of the weights of being listed. So we go on to the half one at Bangor. This is the only race that we actually had a tip on at Bangor. Uncle Bert won very well.
Backed
in the boards. Wasn't our pick though. We went to West of the Bridge.
Drifted
like mad before the start of the race. We were looking at our betting slips thinking, oh God, what have we done? I'm surprised none of us actually went for Uncle Bert being that well fancied. But... could you put it down to Dan Skelton up to his old tricks?
That's what I said at the time.
Yeah, that's what you said at the time. Or is it just down to didn't like the ground?
No, because he never looked comfortable, in my opinion.
No, I don't think he wanted to set off.
Never looked comfortable. Never jumped properly. Don't know. If you're with Dan Skelton, you don't know if he's doing a plot job until he's done it.
Unless your name's Langer Dan. Yeah, he'll all year and then, oh yeah. He's fine for Cheltenham. Yeah,
so... To know of him, but he's 11, so it'll probably be.
Might have just had
he's well handicapped, but it's one of them that it'll be like one more time, I think, with him. So I might as well back him next time because it will come a time where he'll probably win.
Yeah, probably, yeah. He probably got one more win left in him, but
yeah.
Give also a shout out to Williston as well. That was a nice second place there for 28-1. Big price for Jamie Hamilton and Matt Walford. But there's nothing really much to talk about. My second fancy was Jungle Jack for Brian Hughes and Donald McCain, but again, just weakened. Just lost a lot of legs. We'll move on then to another disappointing skeleton performance. It was Cartoon and Co that I think I tipped.
Next one was Donnie, wasn't it, on the run list?
No, we didn't tip one for that.
Brockle, yeah, I know. We might talk about it.
We'll talk about it. Obviously, unraced 2-year-olds didn't have a fancy whatsoever in this race.
Well, apparently the thing won, didn't it?
Yeah, Zeminature for Dylan Cooner and Reese Clutterbuck at 6.
That's why it's called that, because it's tiny.
No, is it really?
Yeah.
Is it? Yeah. Oh, it's a nice name, that.
Yeah.
You got like Bob the Bandit coming second for Jason Hart. Indication Ember for Sam James. But three big prices, 16-1, 20-1, 22-1. Great forecast if you had that.
I don't know how you could.
No, random number generator. To be honest, if I had one bet on this horse, literally a quid.
Yeah, I just wanted to touch on this race because Dylan Cunier, the way he talks, he's not got many horses in training. Half, 50 in training, half of them are 2-year-olds.
Yeah.
He had a great career in South Africa. I think he was top trainer there for quite a few times.
Yeah.
Come over here, a brave thing to do with our prize money being as it is. And he's making a good do of it. He's not been here long.
No.
He's expanding all the time.
He's South African.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's expanding all the time. And he's got Reese Clutterbuck as the rider for his yard now, full time. So yeah, he's I think he could have a good season this year, what he's got.
Yeah, we've just got to keep an eye out for him. The favourite, Mystical Elegance, right, I've got to talk about this. Saw a lot, I think it was 6-1 at the start of the day and then went down 11-4. It was really fancied. But I think you were saying on the podcast that Ammo Racing seemed to aim for this race.
Ammo Racing just aimed to have them all firing to start the season.
Yeah.
Like, have them race fit ready.
And I'll tell you what, this one was anything but.
They send them all to a trainer in Ireland, Robson someone.
Not Robson Green, is it? No.
And he has them all near enough. Any, like King of Steel or not, they'll all have been there.
Mm.
And he has them until the very last minute. And then they'll go to wherever they're going.
Yeah.
At some point, I imagine he'll be taking his own license. But anyway, they all go there, and then like literally last minute, they all get flowing to wherever they're going, and this is why they're so fit straight off. Because you get some firing, and you'll find that same as last year, same as year before, he'll have them all ready at the start of the season. Which it works for them at the start of the season, but come the end of the season, they're sort of ready for a break. So.
Mm.
But that's up to, you know, if Kia Giraffe wants to do that, then
that's
up to him.
It was still quite disappointing, that one. Still quite disappointing on David Egan. He got a winner later on, which we will talk about. But yeah, next race that we actually tipped was Cartoon & Co. I'll be honest, I actually missed this race.
I had third.
You had third place, Break My Soul.
16-1, that was tipped at when we set off.
I mean, to be fair, I Love My Bay was drifting quite a bit. I did like the look of, because I think I've tipped him before. I think I actually mentioned that on the podcast.
She ran at Donny, didn't she, when we were there?
I think I tipped it then.
Ran quite well, so yeah.
But no, he won quite well there. Second was Pretending, 1.25 lengths. But Cartoon and Co, the trainers that rep said there was poor form shown before the race, came too soon, 14 days prior. So it was favourite 7-4. I mean, we tipped it at 4-1. It's a lot of money coming in.
I can't figure out this horse.
Like, I can't.
He seems to be good and then isn't. I don't know. I can't figure him out. I think he'll be one of them that you have to sit back and watch a few more times to really, without backing him, to really understand what he's all about.
So, yeah.
But the Irish come over here again. Taking another decent race.
Exactly. And 1-3-5 not out. Again, disappointing. Really, yeah. I think this one might be a dud. Ninth place, coming dead last. 45 lengths behind the winner. They bled from the nose, so not good to see at all. Next one is a winner. Got a winner here. Look Back Smiling, 17-2. Got a booyah to report. I did watch this race actually. It was quite a very, very close race between the front three. Jamie Spencer, he must be getting on a bit now as a jockey. But Look Back Smiling was just brilliant, I thought. It hung right a little bit towards two furlongs, but...
She was inquired, was as well.
Yeah, I don't know what for.
We sort of knocked it... Well, didn't knock... He intimidated one horse, which then went into the third horse, didn't it? So yeah. If anyone had a case to make, it was Ross Orion. But it was sort of really close to the line, so I'm not so certain he could do anything about it, really. But
yeah, that's probably why he didn't get overturned, but we know now them sort of decisions don't get overturned. There was not really another horse that I fancied. Well, there was Haswell Duke, who was kind of like fancied 7-1.
The drift on him was concerning, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, and it again the drift shows that it was not going to do it, and it didn't. So yeah, I mean the drift in flat racing, I think, is again even in National Hunt, it shows that you're probably not going to win off place. So. But no, it was nice to get a winner on the board. And speaking of winners, the next two races, I think, what yours to report, mate? So we've gone to the 2-4 at Newbury, and this was a win for Helton. You'd have had the forecast, because I think you mentioned both Sir Psycho and Helton.
Yeah,
and I'll give it to you, mate.
At the time, Sir Psycho was about 18-1.
Yep.
So yeah, Helton should have won four in a row now, but it's just a nice horse. He's not anything really flashy, but always tried his hardest.
Yeah.
So, yeah, got into the season for him. Like I say, Dan Skelton's had him ready for the end of the season. He's ready. He's won three times, should have been four. There's nothing more to say about him. He was by far the best horse, but Sir Psycho was the second pick, and he beat in the neck. So, yeah, he could have won on a different day, I think. But
yeah, very disappointing from Solo again, who bled from the nose. Looking at the race, definitely winnable for Solo, but again, with just that poor form, it just seems to be carrying on with that. It just seems very tough to back Solo at the minute. And again, proved right. I didn't bet on him last minute, which was a good thing. But 6-1, actually, he set off at. But not evens for Eltonham.
Well backed.
So. Yeah, very well backed. And the opposite of poor form.
Maybe
Aintree. Yeah, I'd be aiming this way. Obviously, didn't go to Cheltenham.
Win our entry, so
maybe that's the last run before.
But he has been taking his racing well, hadn't he? He's had plenty of runs in the last sort of 6 weeks. So
a lot of horses seem to thrive off running back to back to back, but some horses love a break.
Yeah,
one might just seem to just love running.
Yeah, I mean he's had four runs now since the 21st of January, which is quite unbelievable actually. But
yeah, maybe give him a rest, and then Aintree might be the.
He's got race every 2 weeks, isn't he? So I don't know. Aintree could be the way forward for him, and then I imagine that'd be that, but he might go somewhere else. Sandown maybe, I'm not too certain. It's up to them. If I think he's taking his racing well, then Aintree could be the place to go. He's definitely in good form, he seems to be enjoying it.
If you're in good form, keep on that form, you know what I mean, by racing them. 3 o'clock at Doncaster, this one was the Camage. You had a winner in this one, didn't you?
Yeah,
Montasib. 4-1, nice winner actually. It was this race very close between the top four. You had Montasib in second, the two joint favourites of Marshman and Orazio there in second and third, and you had a Day Devon not too far away in fourth. Good run actually, quite too bit keen, maybe
the more to come for her. She's only three.
Yeah, exactly.
More to come for her. But Montasib, cracking ride from Kieran Fallon, by the way.
Oh, brilliant. And yeah, I did watch this race. It was
cracking
brilliant
ride.
Yeah.
Just enjoyed the ground. He's the figure, like I said on the Tipping podcast, they found his trip. They've been open about it. This is his trip now. Mm. He should have really won the Air Gold Cup, I think, maybe. But
unlucky to not to.
Nevertheless, they found his trip. He enjoys the cutting the ground. Could be another crack at the Air Gold Cup, maybe. I don't know. It depends. I assume they might have to go for group races now with him. He's getting a bit. He's at the point now where
that mark might be getting a bit too much.
Yeah, he's rated 108 now, so they're going to reassess him tomorrow. That's going to have to be 110, isn't it? 111. Yeah. So, sort of getting to the point now where if he keeps winning, if he keeps winning, that'll definitely be out the window. It'll have to be great races for him. But
yeah,
there's going to be a nice horse, actually, especially towards the end of the season, we get a bit of rain.
Might be a graded race. Might be a graded race for her. For him, sorry.
Yeah, there could be. There could be. Or it could just be one of them that comes down the handicap and Air Gold Cup's on the card, or maybe a Stewards Cup, potentially, something like that. The Raiders, the race at Royal Ascot, but
yeah,
he runs on good ground, but he definitely seems like he prefers a bit of cut. So
yeah,
there's plenty of options for him. Actually, it must be a great horse to own. So
oh yeah, 100%. I mean, it's the Montessori partnership, isn't it? Who owns him?
Yeah. So there's going to be a good. It's from Shadwell, you see. So Shadwell bred. So yeah, bought privately. So yeah, he's going to be a nice horse to look forward to actually for the season, but. Not so certain he'll cut it in group company. I don't know.
I think everything might just have to go right for him.
It's hard to figure out, but definitely in one of these big handicaps, you've got to be interested.
Got to be.
The three big ones, the Wokingham, Air Gold Cup, Stewards Cup, there's always sprinters, big sprints at York.
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll see with him. But
you reminded me about races which are yet to run, like the Wokingham, which I completely forgot about until now. So
I say the big sprints at York, Coral Cup. There's loads of stuff for it.
Great options.
He could go to, you know, so.
Great options
there. Yeah, so. We'll see anyway. His next race will tell you, because I imagine it'll be a group race next. Mm. So his next race will tell you where he is and what you're thinking about for the upcoming season. But I'd probably say he'd be most effective sort of like the later season. So yeah.
Yeah, might be one to watch that one. I'll tell you what, good luck trying to pick a winner out of this one, because the 3:15 at Newbury. The mares and novices, some of the prices coming first, second and third. Wow. 25-1, All the Glory, trained by Jonjo O'Neill. His son Ryan, the winner there. Alfie's Princess second for Sam Thomas. Good trainer, actually, Sam Thomas. and Ubetti with Ben Clark training. Bit of a dud on this one for me. Condessa pulled up. I backed the wrong Sam Munir and Isaac Suede horse, I think. Should have gone with I Love My Bay, but yeah, it's just... I think that mistake, 4 fences from the finish, definitely just put them out of contention. El Elephant fell. We fancied him a little bit. I fancied her, during the podcast previous, I believe.
Yeah.
But you could tell at that point the ground was getting a bit soupy.
Yeah, my tip, Drumley Spud, he ran okay, but there was a loft shoe.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that could account for a place spot at like 16 lengths or not, but it could have easily done.
Yeah.
It was 28-1 when I tipped to shut off 12, so I must have been thinking along the right lines.
Mm.
But yeah, she ran okay considering that. Tricky old races, but the winner obviously absolutely pissed up.
Yeah, did. 25-1 as well, what a winner. And then we'll go to the Lincoln, watch this race. Mr. Professor won very well at 33-1. I had a little bet on Latam coming second. I know your tip for the race.
It was, yeah.
And then I think you also tipped Alpha Krukis as well.
Yeah.
28-1. My actual tip came eighth. Went too bad, I guess. Just didn't have the legs to catch up. Again, probably ground dependent on that one. But Mr. Professor, what do you think?
What do I think?
What do you think of the win?
I think it's a nice story. He's come from a quite low mark. He's had problems. They've thrown figured him out. The thing is about him, he's bred to get a mile and a quarter. So the mile on soft ground probably helped him there a little bit.
Yeah.
But ran well all the same. Latam, I like Latam. You want to catch him fresh, as I said beforehand. He's not run bad, but he just ran against one that's like mega fit at the minute.
Yeah.
And they've got him firing. He's... By all accounts, it's quite tricky to get right. They've got him right. So, big win for David Egan, really.
Yeah.
In his new owner's retention. So, yeah, good win for him. Mm. He must be happy. Things going well. He won the Irish Lincoln last weekend.
Yeah.
Oh, did he? No, he didn't. He won the first two-year-old race of the year in Ireland.
Mm. Was that the Curra?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He won that race, so... Yeah, the other tip, Alpha Krukis, that ran okay, not beating far.
Yeah.
So
I think we mentioned Vetiver. I think we mentioned Vetiver before the race as well.
Yeah, that was my tip. Disappointing. Bit keen. Punting at the start of any season, flat or jumps is tricky because you don't know how fit they are, and you don't know. You know, they're obviously quite highly strung. They've not ran for a long time.
Yeah.
So it's gonna be tricky for a month or so, but if you like, say in hindsight, we know how my racing getting. Prim and proper for the start of the season.
Yeah.
33 to 1, huge price. You would never really look twice at him, but having benefit of hindsight, knowing what to do, probably worth a decent bet. So, But coming from stall 2, it's hard to do it, Donny, as well.
Yeah, so, it is. You want to be drawn quite wide, don't you?
Yeah, ideally.
Yeah.
But they're all over. It's a Lincoln. Lincoln's a race for me that's like sort of... I like it because it's that flat season at Donny. I can almost smell a run of my horse in the air. Do you know what I mean? Like, but then I look back and I'm like, oh, the jump season's like...
It's so close to finishing. Like
dwindling away before my eyes.
A little bit.
And then I'm going to be like thinking about going to Market Raising in July and that'd be my only fix the jumps racing until Market Raising's on again.
Yeah, unless we go to Southall again.
Yeah, well, you know what I mean? Just say, oh, God, just... But then the flat, the flat keeps you interested. It's just it's good.
It ticks you over, doesn't it?
The season ends at just the right time, I think. Like, you get quite excited for the flat season to return, and then before you know it, the jump season's back, and it just keeps going just until you just about to get fed up with it, and then the new season comes along, and it's something else to think about.
Exactly.
All your favourites come back to play.
Yeah.
Good to see that August Rodin running on the weekend in Dubai.
Yeah.
That's nice to see. They've got all sorts of plans of him. The lads of the cold. Coolmore boys, they're thinking about doing great things there also. Now they're all getting older, they've made the money. I think their attitude now is, well, let's try and do something special with them instead of just taking them straight to the breeding shed, all of them anyway. So I think they're going to go something like Dubai, and then they're going to come back for Tattersall's Gold Cup, and then they're going to come, they're going to go everywhere. And then
got Breeders' Cup at the end of the season.
Yeah, end it Breeders' Cup, so... And they're on that city of Troy, they're going to go everything for him as well. So
it's what you want to see.
I think August Rand's on about maybe going to Saratoga for Trevor Stakes. So
wow.
Yeah, they're just trying to do it. They're not young anymore.
No.
Yeah, they've been in the game for a long time. I think there's no end of money, let's face it. And I think they're just trying to do something that's a bit different with horses now. And I'd say, I think 15 years ago, 10, 15 years ago, maybe 5 years ago, they were a tired August Rodin last year. There's no reason not to. He won the Derby, won the Breeders' Cup.
I thought they were going to, but then they come out with saying they had big plans for August Rodin. One of the only ones to not retire. It was, again, probably one of the best, if not the best flat horse out right now.
Probably, yeah. And they'll probably retire him next year, and then hopefully City of Troy is in the exact same space.
Might even be better.
Unless they're retiring both at the same time, but they've got plenty of stallions. I mean, look at the ones they brought out this year, the likes of Blackbeard and stuff, and they've endless stallions, aren't they now? So, and they've got all the national holding ones like
Pile. They're set up for a decade, I think.
Hurricane Lane, they've got stallions and stallions, haven't they? I mean, fair enough, it's all hard work they've done. Good to see. We've got the racing this weekend, we've got Dubai this weekend, Shima Classic. So, yeah.
Exciting. We've got an exciting week to look forward to for entry.
And then Market Raise on Sunday for us.
Get in. Happy days. We'll be tipping a few for that, I reckon, on the podcast. Yeah,
we'll give it a go.
Yeah, because I think we'll give it a go, because if we go somewhere, we want you to come along. Not along in terms of like, you can if you want. You know what I mean? You can come with us if you want, but we want to keep you all involved in where we're going, what we're fancying when we're actually on the race course. But yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. I think we've gone through all the tips, we've gone through all the news. Anything else you want to talk about?
No, I think we've covered quite a lot, really, haven't we?
Yeah, it's been quite a big podcast, this one.
England was shite.
Oh, God, I'm glad I was a few peers deep on Saturday to not remember that.
Yeah, it's a bad one, it.
Gareth Sedative.
Yeah.
It sends me to sleep.
I can't understand why people rate him, to be honest. I just don't get it. If England...
I'll tell you what, it's made me fall out of love with England.
If England, like, had a manager that just, like, settles on the attacking... I mean, yeah, it's risky football, but we've got the players.
Yeah, we have got the players, really.
We've got, like, so many good attacking players.
Bellingham, Foden, Saka.
So many good attacking Grealish. Players.
You got like, Kane up front.
So many good attacking players. And Madison as well in there.
Yeah.
The list is, like...
It's Sancho. You can even say Sancho in there.
Got loads of attacking players that could play.
And then we've got the defence.
Even Ollie Watkins and that. You just think... Yeah, Sterling.
And then you look at the back four, which will be Kyle Walker, John Stones, Tomori, Gaye. And you got left back, you got Luke Shaw, who I still rate.
You just need like someone who would take risks. And like if you did that...
He is the Nicky Henderson of...
The caveat...
You know what I mean?
The caveat to an attacking manager is just play Trent at right back and you'll get constant service to these players.
Yeah.
All the time.
Exactly, yeah.
And you got Gallagher and Rice sitting.
Yeah.
Or Gallagher... Rice
it's going to be another generation wasted for us.
Rice and Bellingham sitting with, like, Foden...
Kane. I wouldn't play Bellingham sitting.
You'd have to, though, wouldn't you? Because you'd have like Foden, Kane. You'd have like, if it was me, I'd just like four at the back, like Trent, the two centre backs.
And in these friendlies, what's the point in sitting back? Just go for it. Give the fans what you want to see.
Yeah, I'd have like Trent and Chilwell, and then the two centre backs, Stones and Maguire, I suppose. And Bellingham, Rice, Foden, Saka, Kane, and what's still on the left?
Yeah, I mean either or you can't.
What a team! You just won't do it.
Stow subbing, you won't do it.
Like what service you get from Trent and Chilwell as well? What service you get?
If Reece James, if he's fit.
Oh no, it's ridiculous. Like, what a team.
Just going to be another generation wasted.
In 5 years, 10 years' time, you'll be wondering where all the players have gone and why we never won anything.
Yeah, again. It just never seems to be, never seems to go right with us. So, yeah, I don't want to talk about England anymore. it's too depressing. We'll leave the podcast there, I think. We've done quite a bit there. Yeah. We've gone through quite a lot. We'll be back on Thursday. Smash is falling into place again, so we'll be back on Thursday to preview the weekend racing.
Yeah,
actually, don't know where it is. You'll know.
Haydock, I think. I did know because I literally looked earlier.
I'll have a look.
Oh, I did know.
So we're going to be going. So Musselburgh on the flat.
That's it, Musselburgh. Oh god. Yeah.
Oh god.
Yeah.
Free to wear. So we're going Haydock, Musselburgh. And that's it. That's all we do. Yeah, we may do something if we like.
No, plus Maidan.
You got Maidan as well. We'll do Maidan. Yeah, I've not even had a look. We've got there's Cairo there.
Yeah, there's Maidan. There's that's on ITV. So anyway, so
Nashua.
Yeah,
Luxembourg.
Oh, there's plenty.
Plenty.
There's Coltrane going. Tyrol London. Trollerman. Shishkini. Giovoletto, Enemy, Roberto Escobar, there's...
Emily Upjohn.
Yeah, there's loads and loads of horses going there.
Point Lonsdale, all them. Yep, so we'll be covering them on Thursday, and also we'll be telling you about our tips for market racing on the Sunday. So thank you very much for listening, guys. Been a pleasure as always. Just remember, like, subscribe, and fucking booyah.